This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Friends, I would do it again. I have to be candid with you. I'm not trying to in some way insult you. This is a matter of principle. This is a matter of conscience. There are people suffering in this country because they don't have health care. I'll close with this. On some issues of matter that are matters of conscience, it is better to stand alone than not stand at all.
Well, there you have Congressman Al Green saying, I'd do it again. So I don't know if remorse is required or anything after you're censured, but it doesn't sound like he has it. He feels like he was righteous in his cane shaking towards Donald Trump at the joint address, but he is on the other side of a censure right now. Let's talk to the person who presided over this vote, our very own Congressman Mike Bost from Illinois' 12th District. Tell us, well, thank you for fitting us in your busy schedule today.
No problem.
Tell us about the day.
So understand that once the censure is voted on, that is required for the person who being censured has to stand in the well and have the resolution read to them exactly why they are being censured. Now, you can add to that censure to remove them from the chamber or not allow them to vote for a certain amount of days. We chose not to do that during this time. You know, the leadership had to make that choice. But we knew, but when it is happens, a speaker pro temp, which I was, cannot be in the chair. So I was there for the vote, presiding over. And as soon as the vote was declared, which that's whenever Speaker Johnson himself came up to then issue the censure and read it into the record. So it was a process that we knew was coming. I got recalled last night, and they said, can you preside over this particular vote? And I said, yeah, sure, naturally. And that has a lot to do with how many hours I spend in the chair, more than anything.
So, Congressman Bost, a censure, give us a little bit of a lowdown of what a censure means. How often does it happen? How serious is it?
It doesn't happen very often, and it has to be a pretty strong crossing of the line. Okay, Congressman Green, on a regular basis, is in it during what we consider the 5-minute speeches, the 1-minute speeches. We'll get up and he'll shake his cane and he'll scream and he'll yell until if I'm in the chair until I smack the gavel and say, I go through three things. I said, the gentleman's time has expired. The gentleman's time has expired. And finally, if they do not quit, I can go, the gentleman is no longer recognized. And they will shut his mic off. In this case, it wasn't a case where he was using a mic. And the real issue is that I guess, but that was what we were weighing out on what the censorship would include, whether it would have a punishment with it. One, it was the first censorship. If he has to do it again, it can include time with suspension of his voting rights. But in this case, when you raise your cane, I didn't even know this, okay? I found this out later. If you raise your cane We don't have that a lot in the chamber as they did 100 years ago. But you raise your cane and you have the handle in pointed at someone, it is considered a weapon.
Oh.
Okay. And so there was more to that, than so there were certain members that wanted to go a lot farther during this time. The speaker chose to say, okay, this is the first time, but he now, Mr. Green, is aware of that he can, there can be other consequences. I would hope that he wouldn't do it. He can say it, he can say that it was a choice of conscience, but then within that, where that offends me is, my conscience is not bothered by the quality of work that's been being done by this administration over the last month and a half. I'm just, you know, that's a difference. I think it's my conscience to save the taxpayers and actually get a government that works right to make sure it's secure for my children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
Congressman Boss, this is Ryan Wiggins.
Hey,
10 Democrats crossed the aisle and voted for censure. Was that expected?
Not necessarily, but it is a case where even they, but once you get a bipartisan, that means somebody's woke up and said, yeah, that went a little far. Okay. The whole, and it was a show for him. Like I said, it's not the first time he's done stuff like this, but, you know, it becomes frustrating and we've got to get decorum back. We got to get decorum back. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. You know, Congressman Boss, one of the things that is a driving factor behind all of this is Donald Trump. He's involved, and there are some people who are just so motivated by their distaste for him that anything that follows, as long as they feel like they're doing it for the righteous cause of publicly hating him, they feel okay to do it. And I'm looking at the Democrats and the way a lot of people are reacting to the way they chose to behave during the joint address, you know, behind Congressman Green, the rest of them as well.
Right.
You were there during that speech. What was your take
on
their choices that evening?
I think you got to remember that whether it was Joe Biden, Bill Clinton, the list goes on and on of Democrats, Barack Obama. There are certain things in the speech that are positive and you should react positive to them. I've seen Republicans stand and applaud those Democrat presidents. They don't agree with all their policies. But when somebody talks about a young man that has been awarded special stuff or as a police officer because of his brain cancer, or a family that has suffered by the loss of a loved one, then these are the times that we should come together and go, yeah, this isn't a partisan issue. This is, you know, and I think that they really did show the American people that partisanship on their behalf is above all else. And even those things that we consider that shouldn't be partisan at all. And I have to believe, and I from what I saw, there was some polling that was done that about 65% of Democrats believe that they made mistakes by doing this. I would have thought it had been higher than that.
Yeah.
But look, the president brought out some very good things. You don't have to agree with him, but there are certain things. And also you don't have to agree with him, but there is certain respect that needs to be to the office. And they chose not to do that.
Do you feel as though they seem to be kind of rudderless at this point? And we have a poll every day, and today's poll is asking if they can get their act together in time to make gains in the midterms. Traditionally, you'd see the Democrat Party pick up some seats, and you know, you didn't have to pick up very many seats, and the majority is going to switch, at least in the House. How do you feel about where the Democrat Party will be come midterm?
They do need to change, and some of their major leaders have told them that, but they can't get away from their radical left. The radical left won't let them get away from it. And so based on that, unless somebody talks them into repositioning, which they will not, then yes, we are going to, my hope is, you know, as a Republican, I'm more than hoping that we're going to gain some. We have like 15 seats that were Donald Trump seats that Democrats are in. And you know, if they keep holding like this, we'll pick those seats up. And we've got a couple more seats that would be targets for them that we will actually keep because we are actually governing. And so I don't see them gaining. It's a long time. That's just it. We've only been doing this a month and a half under this president, but even though it feels like we've been doing it for 2 years already, and with all the things we've accomplished and he's accomplished, unless they actually realize that we have to start working together, and they aren't. Now, today's vote was kind of, as you said, the amount of people that said, okay, yeah, we do need to think of it.
So we're speaking with Congressman Mike Boss. He represents Illinois' 12th district. He's also the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Do you feel as though, you know, this budget, the House was able to pass their bill, Senate's passed a bill. Can you give us a little bit of an update on where this process is, especially the procedural stuff?
Yeah. So what we did was we passed the one big, beautiful bill, in the words of the president, out of the House. And that's the first step on moving forward. So the House, you know, advances this budget bill and the blueprint that lays over and goes into, because of reconciliation, this is the one thing that we can come to agreement on, and it doesn't require 60 votes before it requires a simple majority of 50 votes in the Senate. So basically, what we're doing is, in this bill, we're unleashing the American-made energy, we're cutting reckless government spending, we're doing the $4.5 trillion tax reinstatement of the tax of 2017 so that people don't have a huge tax increase on them. Critics are said we couldn't get it done in the House. We did get it done in the House. Now the Senate has to take it over there. Hopefully they take it up. Now, what modifications they do through the reconciliation process, we hope they leave it alone. We believe that it has, and President Trump tweeted out that this is his bill, what he wants. So I believe that the Senate will take it up, and I believe it'll get the pet bills passed it needs. Now, once you're through that, and you got to deal with all the other things, now we're back to the 60-vote thing. And that's why people need to understand that there's a reason why in the bill, and as much as you hate a debt limit increase, by having that in there, what it does is, that doesn't mean Trump's administration is going to spend past that debt limit, but if we can't get a budget passed and we have to vote on that, then Chuck Schumer will be back at the table. Where if we do it during reconciliation like we're trying, he can't come back to the table at that, because that's always going to cost the American people a whole lot more. Now, what I do see is the president will be talking, well, next week when we go back, there is going to be a continuing resolution, and most people hate continuing resolution. That's because most times the Democrats control the continuing resolution. All this will do is it'll give the president time to negotiate, to get his bills that he needs across the finish line, and the government doesn't shut down. I believe we'll get that passed out of the House. As we pass it out of the House, the Senate will have to take it up. Now, the Senate, in that case, does require 60 votes, which means Chuck Schumer can say, I don't want to pass this continuing resolution for whatever reason. I'm going to hold it up. Well, then all of a sudden, it isn't the Republican shutting down government. It is Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer's never been real good at being able to hold that. The last time he swore he was going to shut down government, he shut it down on a Friday and I think voted on Sunday to put it back in, to go through it. So he's never been good at that. And not saying that's good, because his government shutdown's bad.
Yeah. Right.
Congressman Boss.
So that's
yeah. Oddly, this has been usually a budget bill just kind of is background noise to most Americans. It's a big deal in Congress, and it's a big deal for those watching. But in this one in particular, I don't know if it's because of DOGE and because of all the news, but I've had more people come up to me and ask me how's Congress doing with the budget bill than I've ever had before. And so go ahead.
Here's the thing. Why? Do you know, and that's what people don't, that's why I hate CRs, continuing resolutions, and not, but now by being able to unite government, we can't have the Senate hold us hostage for this budget bill, like I said, so we'll be able to move it, but it's going to take a little while, and we will go past that date where the other budget, where our continuing resolution moves it. The importance of it is this. Do you know that because of CRs, continuing resolutions, which mean you continue to operate on the old budget, we're still operating on the old budget that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats passed under Joe Biden during during COVID.
Oh.
So it was the most expensive budget that you've ever seen. So it's still, every time we do a CR, that continues on. So the people have all of a sudden said, if we want to get this straightened out, and we need to calm the spending down, and we need to reduce the size of the overall government, you got to pass a budget.
Right.
That's how long we've been on this budget. Think about that.
It's
expensive.
And boy, have times changed in many times over since the middle of COVID. You're the chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and I want to give you the opportunity to speak to cuts are taking place everywhere. Yeah. What about where our veterans are concerned? What do you expect?
Let me tell you, I'm very good friends, and when I tell you that the secretary and I are close friends, we're very close friends. He knows my district well. He's from Georgia, but he was a former member from Georgia.
Doug Collins.
And Doug Collins, that's right. And Doug and I and the secretary, now that I have to find that, I and the secretary were on a phone till 11 o'clock last night. We were back on the phone at 7:30 this morning. We were in a meeting at 8:30 this morning. The problem is that Democrats are screaming all these cuts and it's going to affect services for our veterans. No. We're going to cure. We're going to make the money that we spend on our veterans go to truly taking care of our veterans, meeting the requirements the veterans need, doing it in a wise way and an efficient way. Right now, first off, and this is how the Democrats scream and yell. When we first came in, there were some, what they did was they froze there are people that were on, so you have a probationary period. Sometimes it's a year, sometimes it's 18 months. And at any time during that time, you can just lay someone off, okay, to try to reduce staffing for cause because they weren't doing the job well, one because they weren't necessary jobs. So what he did was he was first originally, there were about 6,000 or 7,000 jobs. And then by the time you settled it down, because essential jobs in the VA, doctors, nurses, all of that, those weren't cut. But the Democrats started screaming there was going to be this huge cut. They used the number 2,000, but by the time it's said and done, it was less than 500 in the original thing that we did. Now, here's the important thing to remember. Annie, do you have off the top of your head the amount of employees that are at VA in this world?
No, I have no idea.
470,000. And we laid off, and we did less than 500.
Yeah.
So now what we are going to see, though, because the president sent out word that he's wanting to see all agencies try to back to the 2019 era budget, which was pre-COVID, right? So the secretary is trying his best to figure that out. He actually put a memo out to hit, and this is where deep state is real, okay? And this is the things he's dealing with. So he put a high-level employee email out to basically say we were going to be required to reduce at about a 15% level. Well, so then somebody calculated out that 15% reduction, because that's what it takes to get it back to the 2019 era, is 80,000 employees, okay? So they actually released that there were 20 higher echelon employees, upper management, that they have realized that they leaked it to the press. That is the deep state. So there's going to be some heads roll, but we are going to, and I have sent out the press release, as the chairman, I will be working with the Veterans Service Organization, the VFWs, all of VFWs, the Legion, all of these groups, and there's a lot of them. If they need to tell me where there has actually been the firing and its affected services, we need to know that. Because like I said, exempt are the docs, and how about this? Another one that's exempt because, and you got to know what in HR, what the description is. The person that takes care of somebody who's a quadriplegic is a physical, it almost sounds like an athletic trainer.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's not their job. Okay. So first HR came in and said, okay, those will be reduced. And then all of a sudden we told them what the job was. Then they go, yeah, we're not reducing that. So all of this we're going through and I will be working. And that's what my press release said, right side by side with our veterans organizations, with my colleagues in the House, those members of my committee on the Republican side of the aisle and the secretary, which is the administration, to make sure no veterans lose their services, that they're guaranteed, that they still get the quality, if not even better, because we have had a lot of failure. The example is the amount of employees that we have increased in the VA since the passage of the PACT Act and since COVID is a case where we've increased that great big budget, but yet our when Trump left office, our list of people that still had to be dealt with, that's a legacy list of people with their claims, was 45,000. We've spent more money and the list is up to 275,000. So we're spending money, but we're not getting results. We need to find out why we're not getting results. The veteran deserves that. The bad thing is Democrats try to use scare tactics. Sure. That we're going to cut the veterans.
Yeah. And I never hear anything from them that's an alternative. It's just scare tactics. I want to sum it up this way, Congressman Bost. You chair the House Veterans Affairs Committee. You're having conversations last night with the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Doug Collins. Will Donald Trump's administration care for our veterans better or worse after these budget cuts, whatever you guys end up putting together? Will veterans be cared for in Donald Trump's administration?
They will be cared for, and the reason I will think that they would be cared for better is we're going to make sure that the services actually go to them, not the bureaucrats. And not only that, do we make sure that it goes to them and not the bureaucrats, because our veterans are taxpayers too, then they can be sure that their tax dollars are being spent wisely to provide for their needs.
Well, I think that's what matters. If you implement efficiency, that could also provide for better care. It's never been about just the dollar spent. We could just say, look at the Department of Education, for an example.
Well, we're going to be looking at that pretty hard next week.
Oh, I know. I'm like popcorn ready for that freak out. We will touch back with you soon on that. Congressman Bost, thank you for the insight here. A lot of people wanted to hear what you had to say about that.
Thank you for having me on.
We always love talking to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. A lot of people want to know about the veteran stuff. So I appreciate him giving the straight facts on what's actually being taken place. Like, if you spend $10 on something and you overspend for that thing by $4 and you cut the budget from $10 to $8 and now you're spending it on things that efficiently can deliver the service. Yes, there would be budget cuts, but not necessarily a provision cut.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
But that's not fun to talk about.
No, but I think we've finally gotten to a point in American history where America gets, because we've heard for so long that this agency, that agency, they just spend and spend and spend, and you know, nobody really knows where it goes. Now we're finally asking, can we find out where that goes?
Yeah.
Can we find out if it's actually doing anything? And we have people in charge doing that.
And the Democrats pearl clutch and go, oh, no.
What a terrible position to take.
No, you cannot. And if you want to look behind that curtain, you hate those people. It's actually quite the opposite.
Yeah. The signs at the State of the Union, save Medicaid. How many times does Donald Trump need to say, we're not touching it, we're keeping it, we're just making it better for the people who have it?
Yeah. Well, that was a really long conversation with Congressman Voss. We're going to take a quick break here. We can quickly touch on the YouTube live chat poll. Can the Democratic Party recover in time to make gains in the midterm election? I'm going to read a few of your responses that we have here on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, the live broadcast and the live chat. Leave a comment, leave a vote. We'll be right back. If you